So the wise men and women seek God. So we're going to talk about, what do you think, based off that title of what story? The wise men and women seek God. Yeah, we're going to talk about when the wise men, the Magi, travel across the country to worship Jesus, the newborn king, the Messiah. We're going to talk about that story. And here are the three things that I want to take away. So the wise seek God. We need to seek God. That's the overall topic. But three things under that that we're going to take away. We have to seek God with determination, seek God with humility, and seek God in faith. In faith. Those are the three things. So, like I said at the beginning, before we read our text, we often find ourselves lost, confused, in difficult situations, things that we that are unfair in our life, that we have those moments in our lives where it's like, I don't understand what you're doing, Lord. I'm lost here. I'm confused. I thought you were saying this, and now this is happening in my life, or I just don't feel like I have any purpose or meaning or anything like that. We've all found ourselves there at one point in our lives, just this lack of fulfillment and understanding of what we should do next in our lives. And that's a difficult and a scary place to be. And so I want to read this story in Matthew 2, verse 1 through 12. We're going to put it on the screen. I'll read on the screen in case I have a different version here. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers in religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." When Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared, then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. So that's our text. Hey, there's so much happening there, and there's so much that I could talk about of just the beauty of what this story shows us and what we can learn, but I'm gonna try and stay focused, okay? So the first thing I want to talk about is we have to seek God with determination. And the reason why this is so important is because maybe you've experienced this in my life. I'll talk about my own life, though. There's been times where I'm just like, okay, I know I'm supposed to go to the Lord for this. I'm going to go to the Lord, and then nothing happens. And I'm like, that didn't work. I'm out. On to the next solution, right? Because we've trained ourselves to always be finding the solution to the problem. That suffering, that difficulty, that waiting and patience is not for us, right? So we're always going to try and dodge patience, perseverance, suffering if we can go a different direction. It's just natural in us. That is what we are going to do. And I've had those situations in my life, and I'm just like, man, what that leads to of just saying, asking God, seeking God for something, seeking him for direction, and not getting an answer, and then moving on, well, what that starts to do is it actually starts to affect our faith as a whole. Because then what happened in my life is, well, does God really answer prayers? Does God really listen to what's going on? Does he really care about me? Does he really love me? You see how that can snowball out of control, and it just starts with trying to avoid having perseverance, patience, and determination. And so we have to seek God within perseverance, determined that we are in this life for God's glory, and that's it. And so our whole mission should be seeking him in everything, seeking him in everything. And that means that sometimes it's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be instant. And so we learn that in this story, that the story is kind of a snapshot of a longer period of time, because it wasn't just the wise men decided they were going to leave and they there, right? Like the scripture reads, it took time, it took effort, it took suffering and patience, and probably that we're going to get to a lot of faith, because they're following a star, guys. Like, think about how crazy that is to put ourselves in that position. Hey, Joe, I really think that because of what I read in the Old Testament and this prophecy, I'm going to follow this for hundreds of miles. Will you pray for me? Right? That guy's going to think you're crazy, right? If we were to say something like that. But it's the same God. It is the same God, and he works in the same mysterious ways. Sometimes what God is saying to us and what God is having us do and where God is pushing us and where we feel God is leading us in maybe a time of prayer, it's like there's no way that could have come from God because it's too crazy. That is probably from God, right? Because that's often how he works. It's just so mysterious. And I think the reason why this happens is because this story could only happen with God's providence. God's hand was over this whole situation, where Jesus was going to be born, the timing of King Herod, and fulfilling the prophecies along the way. God's hand was over that. And so what seems crazy to us is totally in God's hands. It is up to us to keep seeking and keep taking that step with determination, even when there's a 900-mile journey to go. And we're like, I mean, there has to have been at one point where one of the wise men, there could have been lots of them, were like halfway through, maybe a month in, they're like, are we sure this is what God said? Because we're getting pretty far into this thing and we got a long way to go. And if we put ourselves in that story, oftentimes when we get just stretched just enough, and then we're like, ooh, nah, that is too far in my faith journey to step out in faith like that. And we have those moments, right? Am I alone in this? Or this is a real thing, right? We have those moments where it's like, okay, am I going to be determined to seek God even when it doesn't make sense? To seek God even when it's a very long journey? There's a long process. Am I going to be determined to seek God no matter what comes my way? No matter who talks to me, tells me that I'm crazy, I'm going to be determined to seek God. And that's a very hard thing to do. Easy thing to say. It's an easy thing to put up on a screen. But this is so hard to live out, because so many times I've heard people say, why are you doing that? That doesn't make any sense. That's not going to pan out for you. Why would you do something like that? I'm seeking God, and this is what I feel like he's leading me to do. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. Right? And so when we do that, our faith begins to grow, and we grow deeper in a love for God's care for us, his providence, and his provision for us. So many things happen when we seek God with determination, because it doesn't always happen with the first prayer. It doesn't always happen with the first prayer. It's continually going back and saying, Lord, I know you heard me the first 50 times, but I'm here again. I need you again. And keep seeking him with determination. And so, yeah, they have to travel this long way. There's a lot of sacrifice involved. They're leaving probably a good situation. It's not that it's a bad situation. They're trying to find something new. They're leaving a life to say, I'm going to set my life aside for a moment because the Messiah is here. And it's really important for us to know their sacrifice because the Messiah trumps everything. The Messiah is just a name for the Savior, the anointed one. And that is Jesus. So Jesus today still trumps everything. But we often don't live that way. We try and find our own way, and we don't really believe that Jesus is overall and that we should lay everything down, sacrifice everything, and seek him with determination. To continue with this thought, Matthew 7, 7 through 8, it says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. This is such a powerful verse, guys. I mean, if we think about our lives, if we truly believed this was true, all you have to do is ask. Ask. It'll be given to you. Seek. You'll find it. Knock. The door will be open to you. And the reason why this is a part of the seek God with determination and perseverance is because in Greek, the word ask is a present imperative active. There's some Greek grammar for you. But it's this ongoing thing. It's not just ask once. That's not the understanding of what he's trying to portray there. It's this idea of, it's present, but it's active. We're asking. We're asking. We're constantly asking. We're constantly seeking. We're constantly knocking, right? So ask, but keep asking. Knock, but keep knocking. And don't give up halfway. And it's so important for us to understand that. And here's the other part of why I did the grammar. It's not just a present active, but it's imperative. See if I know what imperative means. Imperative, it's a command. This is something we are, it's not a suggestion. It's not a, if you really need me, toss one up to me. No, it's an imperative. Like this is as if a boss was telling somebody direction and what to do in a business. Like this is what needs to be done. That's super powerful for us to know is that we are told, we are commanded to ask. We are commanded to seek, commanded to knock. And the whole understanding is that we're commanded to keep doing those things no matter what happens in our life. No matter the however many times we've heard, not yet, not yet, not yet. It is our command to keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And we will receive. And I don't want to give a false hope. This isn't a false hope that we're just going to receive everything that we want. That's not how God works. But he does appreciate our heart to continually ask him. He sees our hearts. He sees our needs. He sees everything about us. He knows what is best, even when we don't know what is best. And so I don't want to say that, hey, just ask for a new house and you're going to get one. That's not the message we should take away from this. It's the heart of always seeking the things of the Lord and seeking his presence and seeking to be with him and determined to continually do that at all times. So the next thing we have to do is seek God with humility. Seek God with humility. James 4:3 says, and even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. So this kind of ties into what we just talked about, right? It's not just whatever you want, you get. That's not the message of Matthew. When we read it with James, we have to ask in the right motive. So even if you talk about motives in the story that we started with, King Herod, was his motive really to find the Messiah to worship him? No, it was not his motive. It was not his motive. His motive was to continue to stay in power, even though he didn't necessarily deserve that power. He wanted to stay in a position where he had authority. And this is interesting because we have that same tendency. We want to control things. We want to have the power. We want to be able to know the outcomes. We want the authority. And when we chase that with the wrong motive, we're going to miss God in what he's doing in our lives. We're going to miss him. And so we have to seek God with humility, with the right motives, to know him and to worship him fully. When we come to God just asking everything that we need, and that's all we're doing, we're going to leave empty-handed. It's not a relationship with God, a relationship with Jesus is not just to get everything that we want in our life to be happy. That's not the way the Christian should be living. It's a relationship in that we're seeking him, and that means that there is going to be difficulty. And so when we just come to him just saying, hey, Lord, this is just what I need, that is probably a wrong heart posture to be coming to the Lord, because we need to seek him with humility. So maybe we seek him in a way starting, Lord, thank you so much. And that's the start of your prayer, instead of, this is what I need, right? That just changes our heart posture to be in a place of humility, knowing that if we don't get anything else in our lives, if we don't receive anything else in our lives, salvation is enough. But salvation shouldn't just be a solution for us, but a response to God's love. I thought about that this morning, early. Salvation shouldn't just be a solution, but a response to God's love. When we make salvation just the solution, we take away the life after salvation. It doesn't mean as much, because I already found the solution. I have a sin problem. Many of us have heard this, right? I have a sin problem. To fix the sin problem, there's a solution. The solution is salvation. Boom, done. Figured that one out. Move on. Right? But that's not the Christian way. Salvation is the starting point of a life with the Lord. Salvation shouldn't just be the solution, but salvation should be made in a response to God's love for us. Because when we really recognize how much God loves us, and we truly feel that for the first time, we truly understand it in our minds, but understand it in our hearts, there's no choice but to surrender. Say, Lord, you love me more than I can even imagine. And that is the response, is giving our life to him. It's not just the solution, it's the reaction to who God is. It's a reaction, right? And it's a response to God's love. So when they came to Jesus, their first response was to bow down. And if you read in that text again, you don't have to bring it up. But it's interesting that they noticed Jesus first. They don't say that they saw Joseph and Mary holding the baby Jesus. They noticed Jesus because that was their focus. He is their Savior. He's the long-awaited one that they've waited 500 years to be born. And now they finally get to see him. And the only response for them is humility. They bow before him and they worship him. And that has to be our response. If we want to find God, if we want to be closer to God, we have to seek him with determination, keep seeking him, but we have to be humble. We have to seek him with humility, bow before him, honor him with our lives and the way that we live. And that's what we can learn from the wise men. Is they first saw Jesus, and they wanted to bow and worship him. And so we need to seek God with determination, seek God with humility. And the last one is to seek God in faith. Seek God in faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So we see diligently seeking that aligns with determination, seeking him that way, diligently seeking him. But there's this combination with that and faith that God is going to do something. That faith is a very important part of seeking God and finding him. So, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we have to seek him in faith. And this oftentimes is also more difficult than what we say, because we want to seek him. We want to give everything to him. We want to do all those things. But then when that starts to affect how we live, it becomes difficult. It becomes difficult. And so, we have to seek him in faith. And it's so hard, but it's so needed. And I just think about my own story and the story of the wise men is going back to that, not really knowing. Like there's this unanswered, they don't have all the answers, but they're following a star, right? They have faith each step of the way, and that becomes difficult, but they had faith, and that's what brought them to be able to worship the Lord. And so faith is so important for us to grow in our relationship with God, and we have to seek God with faith. Yeah, because life isn't fair, and it's confusing, and it's difficult. I want to share, it's not going to be on the screen, but just a couple passages that have really been on my heart, have really been carrying me through in my faith journey. I'll just be vulnerable, because we're a family and we can do that. I was going to move on from seeking God in faith, but I think just share a bit of Katie and I's stories. Faith has been very difficult the past couple weeks. And I say that because we're family. I know you guys love me, hopefully. I love you, so don't judge me. But sometimes when we're up here, it brings a false narrative in your mind that we're somehow more spiritually closer to the Lord just because we're up here. That's not the case. So I'll be completely open with you. The past 2 weeks have been very difficult in my faith, and I've had to continue to seek him with every inch of what's in me, and it's been so difficult. There's been conversations with Katie. Matt, Spana, close your ears. Of giving up, saying, I don't know if this is for us. Like, this is tough. I mean, just struggling, right? I think we all have been in that situation, and it may not be the exact situation we're in, but we've been in a place where it's just like, man, my faith is just, I mean, it's this little, and anything could go wrong at this point. Like somebody throwing up in the middle of the night, I'm about to lose it all. All faith is gone. Not for real, though. So the prayer request or the praise item that was up there, that was us, that God is continually providing for us. And even when we don't see how that's going to happen, we trust him. And we seek him in faith. That's all we can do. And so when we do that, when we get past that hurdle, we get to that next campsite, go back to the story. It's like we regroup and we're like, wow, God got us this far. Okay, he's going to continue. We're going to start the new day, and we're going to keep driving that way. It's going to be great. That's how we have to live. That's how we have to live. And for some of us, we've never been forced to live that way in our faith based off our situation. So it's hard for us to see that and understand that. And so I want to say, if that's you, then bless somebody else. Because I can't tell you how special it is to be reliant on other people. How difficult, but how special it is to see someone working through somebody else to help somebody else. I mean, and that happens when we are all seeking the Lord faithfully, with humility, knowing that what we have is not mine, it's yours. It's yours, Lord. And continually doing that throughout our lives. I want to share a psalm that's really been carrying me through. Everybody should know this, would probably know this. Psalm 23. Been reading it about every day. It's just so powerful for us to know that there's somebody who cares for us, that the Lord cares for us so deeply, more than we can even understand. He is our good shepherd. He's a good shepherd that takes care of his flock. And if you're a believer, you are his flock. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger. For you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live." We'll dwell in the house of the Lord. Are you dwelling in the house of the Lord? Every day, you are seeking God. You're seeking his sanctuary. There's another psalm that's been in my heart, but I'm not going to share it. But there's this moment where the writer, he's just listing a bunch of unfair things in his life that he's just frustrated with. But then halfway through the psalm, he says, "I don't know what's going on. I don't understand. But when I entered God's sanctuary, when I spent time with the Lord, I began to understand. He takes care of me. He's for me. He loves me." And he goes on all these positive things. It's a beautiful poem, Psalm 73, if you want to read it later. But I think that moment needs to be for us as well, is that some of us may be at a crossroads or at the end of the rope right now. Are you dwelling in the house of the Lord forever? Are you seeking him? Are you persevering in your seeking of him? Are you seeking him with humility, not as if what you are going through is something that God just needs to fix? Are you seeking him with humility? Are you really seeking him? Are you seeking him in faith? Every inch of faith that we have left, every single week, every single day. So how are you seeking God? The wise men put their reputation on the line. They put their resources on the line. They put their time on the line. They gave up a lot. Why? Because they had a vision of worshiping Jesus. It's what they wanted to do. And so that's what we can model our lives after. How are we seeking God? Our vision. Do you have vision? Do you have purpose? Do you have meaning in your life? Those things can only be found in Jesus Christ. Jesus, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Savior. So do we want to worship him? Do we want to worship him? So, we have to be consistent and determined. We have to step out in faith and trust God. even when it's costly. Following the Lord is costly. You give your life. So continue in faith. Be humble for what he's done. And just ask the Lord to reveal himself to you, that you want a relationship with him. Step out in faith every single day. I'm going to pray for us. During this time, I just want you to be thinking about in your own life, what do you need to be praying for? What do you need to be seeking God for in your life? Are you dwelling in his presence? Because that's when things become clear. We have clarity when we're with the Lord. And continue to have faith, even when it's so hard to. Continue to have faith. Let's pray. God, you're so good to us. Lord, just so thankful that you care for us, that you're a good shepherd who doesn't just let us roam around lost and confused, but you give us meaning and purpose and life abundant because you're a good shepherd. You just want to care for the sheep. So thankful. So thankful in my own life that you've never turned your back on me, even when things are difficult, things are confusing. So I pray right now, somebody who is wrestling in their faith right now, that they feel like they've been asking you and asking you and asking you, and they hear all of these faith stories, but they've never experienced one of their own. They hear what all these people are saying, that you come through, that you're a good shepherd, but you're not to them in their minds. I pray that right now you would just come through for them, that their faith would be able to grow because of your guidance and your provision and your love for them, that they would feel you for the first time. They would feel your love for the first time. It would be undeniable that it's you. Just bring this time before you. Thank you so much for your word, how it guides us. Yeah, we're so thankful. I pray all these things in your name. Amen.